Good morning. Isn't April grand? Today is our Earth Day service, but from this day on, every day is Earth Day. When I make something, I have a connection. It has greater meaning than items that I purchase. I have placemats that the kids and I created, and there is a connection there every time I sit to eat. We have grown away from our connection with the earth. What was once the world we lived in and knew intimately and had a close working relationship with, we now find bothersome. It's too hot, or it's too cold, or wet, or dry. There are briars and insects. Are we the teenagers that have grown detached from our mother? We don't even go outside to pick our flowers. Most of us don't know an oak tree from a hickory or a pileated woodpecker from a kingfisher. Is it any wonder that they would cut down a field of trees across from our church and we pay no mind? Trees in a tree museum? A lot of people would be okay with that. Yet we wonder why there's flooding and air pollution, why our cities are hotter, why there are few monarchs, and why our kids find more interest in a 2D virtual reality than in a 3D world of wonder and awe. When was the last time you took a real hike without your phone, with your kids, and shared with them your knowledge of the natural world? Or the last time you swam in a river or flew a kite with a child? When was the last time? When I taught political science on parent night, I would ask, how many have taken their children to Disney World? And most hands would go up. But when I ask, how many have taken your children to Monticello or Mount Vernon or Gettysburg, there were never many hands. And I said to them what I say to us now. That is our job. Our federal government is in disarray. Our state government is stuck in the past. And our local government is without a clear vision. And that will continue until our voices are heard. Our generation is facing a moral crisis. Our kids are asking, where are the adults? The hopes and dreams of all the past and of the future is in our hands now. With climate change, we face the greatest challenge and the greatest opportunity in the history of this land. All of our concerns, justice, human rights, health, children, etc., depend on our relationship with the earth. Our children will not remember us for the things we gave them, but they will remember the fire in our bellies and the work that we did to ensure their future. Let's do this. Let's do this together. The focus today is beyond the walls, from the me to the we. Why would you not want to be a part of creating a better place to live, a better tomorrow for our children? Change can happen at the city level. Cities all over this country are embracing the Paris Accord. The reason ours hasn't is because we haven't demanded it. Citizenship means civic engagement, and we need that now more than ever. So how do we do that? I think David White's advice is best. Start close in. Don't take the second or the third step. Start with the first thing, the step you don't want to take. We, the Earth Ministry, are encouraging that step by extending the Stephen Covey Challenge. Do it for 30 days till it becomes a habit. In your order of worship, you will see suggestions. The only limit is the imagination. Make it specific, make it measurable, do it for 30 days till it becomes a habit. In a minute, my good friend Kelly Callen will share what civic engagement looks like in her life. We are the consciousness. The universe acts through our deeds, and all is now on the line. We are the most progressive church. We are the leaders we've been waiting for. As Nancy Griffiths says in a favorite song, there's trouble in the fields. And she is right. But spring is magic time. And with its coming, we know that everything is possible. Thank you.
So beautiful. Thank you, Donna and John. Good morning. I have a remarkable story to share with you, which some of you may not even realize that you are a part of. Whether you just walked in the door, as some of our guests have, or you are a founding member like Ashok Negrani of Human, you have contributed to this story. For those that don't know me, my name is Kelly Callen, and I and my husband, Todd, along with our 11-year-old son and 9-year-old daughter, have been members at Human for about 7 years. And over the years, we have become progressively more involved in various committees and programs, and I was trying to tick off how many, but it was over a dozen. So needless to say, I'm a joiner. But honestly, I can say from the first meeting I attended with our Earth Ministry group about 3 years ago, I felt like this was where I could really connect and could make a difference outside of humans' walls. And while a portion of the meetings are devoted to sharing our collective knowledge, mostly what this group is interested in doing is actually doing rather than just discussing. An example, in the fall of 2016, on a late Saturday afternoon, I was minding my own business when I got a call from Gus Hadorn, our Earth Ministry chair. He asked me if I had heard of Mimosa Hall. I said no, but I love orange juice and champagne, and so tell me more. I had him on Bluetooth in my car, and as it turned out, I happened to be driving just a few blocks by Mimosa, not even knowing it. And as Gus explained that nearly 200 years old, this antebellum home was in danger of being purchased by a developer who was interested in making Mimosa the clubhouse and surrounding it with 50 homes, completely destroying 15 historic gardens which had been designed by famed architect Neil Reed. Gus was also interested in the 21 acres of wild undeveloped land behind Mimosa, which was also for sale, and that was home to wildlife and native plants, not to mention home to the Cherokees and later camped on by the Confederate Army. This property had a rich history. And by this time, I had found my way to the front gate of Mimosa, and so I said to Gus, well, the gate's open. How about if I just knock on the door and let Sally, the owner, know that we are part of a Unitarian church that's interested in finding a way to save her family home for all to enjoy? There was silence on the line. And then he said, well, I'm not sure Gus Hadorn would do that, but I see no reason why Kelly Callan shouldn't. I had already gotten out of the car at this point, so looking back, I probably would have done it anyway, but I've learned to take heed to Gus's advice since then. The walkway from the gate of Mimosa to the front steps is cobblestone, no doubt laid by the enslaved who built the home in 1841 and everything around it. And I remember the first step I took feeling energy coming through those stones without knowing anything other than what I just told you. I can honestly say from the very first step that I took on the Mimosa journey, it has been electrifying in every way. I knocked on the door and the owner, Sally Hansel, answered along with her two friendly dogs, and I introduced myself and explained why I was knocking on her door. She was very kind, but she made it clear that Mimosa was under contract, and if all went well that Monday at a public meeting at City Hall, in all likelihood, the deal would be completed. I told her to expect that we would be there with more friends. The next day, human member, amazing activist, and Earth Ministry member, Kate Hudson, had already helped Gus and I with an online petition asking Roswell residents to ask the mayor and council not to allow the rezoning needed to place the 50 homes around Mimosa. And by Monday, we had sent mayor and council a link to hundreds of signatures, including yours, opposing the developer's plan and encouraging the city to revisit purchasing Mimosa Hall for all to enjoy. That Monday, many of you were at that meeting, including Reverend Dave, who I had never seen before or since, wearing his official clergy collar. While we could not speak at the meeting, we held signs and all wore green to let all present know we had growing support in the community for the purchasing of Mimosa Hall. And by the way, if you do not live in Roswell or are unaware, this wasn't a stretch, as the city owns three antebellum homes which are known as the Trilogy, and the three are all founding citizen homes. Bullock Hall, one of the three, sits directly beside Mimosa and was the childhood home of Mittie Roosevelt and where she and Teddy Roosevelt's father were married. The developer backed out and we had some breathing room, but during 9 months or so before the city actually negotiated and closed on Mimosa, we were under constant pressure that another buyer might appear. And during that time, we began collecting friends and having meetings at the Scooters coffee shop with engaged citizens, influential politicians, and slowly but surely, we began to nurture meaningful relationships And ultimately, we built a strong core group which felt strongly enough to form a 501(c), which we aptly named Friends of Mimosa Hall and Gardens, in the spring of 2017. We pedaled hard during the entire summer, putting together a convincing proposal for mayor and council to approve purchasing Mimosa, and at the heart of which were two novel approaches. The first, we recommended that Mimosa not be purchased with the intent of making it another traditional historic home, which the city already had three of and were money pits, but to make it an active meeting place. Its untraditional large ballroom style front room supported this idea, and we were encouraging it to be used, and still are, for TED Talks, music, speakers, things of that sort. And the second novel idea we had was the home needed a new roof. And Friends of Mimosa Hall and Gardens advisor, some of you know, Simone Dubois, and her partner, Denise Donahue, happened to have a Roswell-based architectural firm that specializes in solar and net zero building. I see people nodding. They were friends with Sally Hansel, the owner of Mimosa, and had already vetted the idea of using a solar integrated roof on the home. It was discovered that because of the orientation of the house and where the chimneys had been placed, it was ideally suited. Further, not only would it be net zero, it would actually capture more energy than it could use if it's stored in a battery system, ultimately saving the city $5,000 a year. But for another time, we'll tell you, it would also feed Mimosa approximately $20,000 a year by selling those SRECs. I became heady just thinking about both those ideas, but it was really the solar roof which I believed to be a game changer, not just for Roswell, not just for Georgia, but a beacon of inspiration for all who caught wind that it was possible on Mimosa. It was possible lots of places we may not be thinking of yet. We began researching if it was as unique as we thought, and discovered fairly quickly that once we had the roof completed, assuming no one beat us, that Mimosa would be the oldest net zero home in the country. This was confirmed when I called the current title holder, Matt Grokoff in Ann Arbor, Michigan, whose home was built in 1901. To my surprise, Matt knew exactly where Mimosa was, as the day I called him, I was on my lunch break at Portman Companies. After a few minutes of chatting, he said, "Kelly, do you work for John Portman, the architect?" And I said, "Wow, actually I do. Are you Googling me while we're talking?" And he said, "No, his name's popping up on my caller ID. Are you calling from his private line?" Turns out, Matt grew up in Sandy Springs and went to the University of Georgia. If you get a chance, I would encourage you to check out his TED Talk, in which he does an excellent job of laying out exactly what net zero means. He has been hugely supportive of our efforts and has said that he wanted to challenge others to do the same. He wants us to break his record and even sent the mayor of Roswell and our city council a video recording challenging them to approve our roof and take the title from him. Matt has truly been an inspiration to me. However, it was a chance conversation with Mr. Portman before he passed that really pushed me to relentlessly pursue this to completion. The day we confirmed that it would be possible to snag the title from Matt, I happened to be walking Mr. P, as we affectionately called him, to the elevators. He was pushing a walker at this time as he was 92, but I still had to run after him to keep up with him. I told him that I thought it was completely possible to make Mimosa the oldest net zero home in the country, and he stopped and turned to me and said, "Kelly, if you do that, that would be remarkable." That was not a word which I had ever heard him use in the 12 years I had worked for him. This was a man who built much of downtown Atlanta and projects all over the world. He was not easily impressed. I was hooked. If Mr. P had tagged this project as remarkable, I couldn't be more inspired to tackle it along with friends and neighbors relentlessly. In September of 2017, the city closed on Mimosa, and we are thrilled, but the hard work had just begun, as now we had to partner with the city to make certain that they, and more importantly, the citizens, did not regret the purchase. All of 2018 was spent in the pursuit of raising funds and awareness of what we had hoped to do with Mimosa Hall and Gardens, which in a nutshell was making it a beacon of inspiration of what can happen when citizens truly engage in the process. There are so many hidden treasures and stories about Mimosa's journey, it was hard for me to decide given the time constraints of what to share today. However, please join me after service to learn more about our plans to install a solar panel from the White House during the Carter administration and how Friends is partnering with the Carter Library to celebrate the panel's 40th anniversary this June. And I just want to show you, we just had a green ribbon cutting ceremony this past Tuesday, which many of you were at, but in it we unveiled the White House solar panel, which we had just gotten in the nick of time the Thursday before, and we also unveiled a photograph of the Carters on the front steps of Mimosa Hall, circa the 1970s. And for those of you who don't know Jimmy Carter's, Aunt Sissy lived across the street from Mimosa, and it is called the Roswell White House. So there's lots of pieces that got tied together because of this. So as it turns out, President Carter and, of course, the Carter Library and Center are aware of the work that we're doing in Mimosa. And so we're hopeful that we'll have time that he's able to join us to show him in person what we've done. Without human, I can assure you that none of this would have ever happened, and I mean that in every way. This isn't just a place where we gather with like-minded friends, but for me, it's a place to educate ourselves, to learn more about what we don't know, to become aware of issues, places, and things, and if we are inspired, to band together to make a difference. Whether you joined as a volunteer advisor, as Ashok Nagrani and Ted Jones did, or showed up to city meetings in support of work as Michelle and Mike Liebergesell, Jennifer Philippi, Laura Keck, Shelley Nagrani, Michelle Decker, or you joined us for lunch and learns like Diantha Horton, Bev Jordan, and many others. Or maybe you sent encouragement when Mimosa was mentioned in the media like Bob Pop and Donna Melcher did. Your support was appreciated and felt not just by us, but by neighbors and local businesses and even other churches that may not have even known that where human was before we got involved with Mimosa. Donna Melcher will tell you, now we definitely have a footprint in our backyard. People know who we are and a little bit about the things that we are passionate about. For me, other than having children, I am not exaggerating when I tell you this has been the most awesome time in my life. Working alongside my neighbors and friends towards the goal of building something meaningful for our community has truly been a great privilege. Mr. P was fond of saying, contribution is life's greatest reward. And I think many of us might say, easy for a billionaire to say. But the truth is our time and talent is what's most treasured in any cause or project. Mimosa is just one example of civic engagement. But there are many ways, big and small, that Earth Ministry would like you to consider this morning to make a difference in our communities, developing knowledge, skills, values, and motivation to promote quality of life through political and non-political processes. In our first of a series of challenges, Earth Ministry is challenging you to commit to the form inside, and we hope that you'll join us for three sessions after church, the first being today, to learn more about what some of those challenges might be that you could engage in. Finally, I have the great honor and privilege of unveiling a gift to all of us from Sally Hansel, who sold her family home to the city of Roswell. At a final party that she threw before moving, she gave Gus and me a painting as a gift to human. It's of a waterfall that a waterfall that her mother had painted at Mimosa. Later, in a thank you note to all of us, she wrote that we had restored her faith in good of humanity. I hope when we look at it, we are reminded of the great things we can do together outside our walls, going from me to we. Let's turn from spectators into participants. Let's recall the inspiring words of U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt, whose mother, Mitty, grew up next door to Mimosa. Far better it is to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to remain with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in the gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat. We have too much to do to sit on the sidelines. If you haven't already, we need you to step out of the gray twilight into the bright sunshine so that we can all see the dawn of the new day. Thank you.